One of the muftis of the Jamiatul Ulama is Mufti Razin. And Mufti Razin is one of the Shafi'i muftis of the, we only have only one. The others generally, they answer the questions in terms of the Hanafi. Mufti Saab is live with us. And just before we get Mufti Saab, we just want to acknowledge the Radio Islam listeners, the listeners of Channel Islam International, as well as Radio Al-Ansar. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners.
Mufti Saab, you've studied Shafi Fiqh under Hazrat Maulana Taha Karan, and thereafter you returned, you've taken employment at the Jamiatul Ulama under the guidance of Mufti Zakaria in terms of the admin, but under the guidance of Mufti Taha Karan in terms of the Shafi'i Fiqh. And having this created, we know that there isn't a formal structure in the Gauteng region in terms of having rulings given about Shafi Fiqh. What is your input to the listeners regarding Maulana Taha and the way he went about in terms of wanting to establish something very formal, yet something that people will be able to be very accustomed and user-friendly in a place whereby there isn't that structure that is so available yet?
Maulana Taha indeed played a very great role in terms of the setting up of the Shafi desk as well. And before I go into the details of that, I can just share some of my experiences with Maulana Taha.
Sure.
And indeed, I think for all of us who studied under Maulana Taha, we'll know that with Maulana's demise, we indeed feel orphaned. Maulana was our spiritual father, our father in knowledge, and with his demise, we definitely feel like a great sense of loss, similar to the one that one might experience when losing one's own biological father, and in many ways even more. But in terms of my interaction with Maapa, I think it has to date back to my second year of studies, where Maapa came to the madrasa at the Jamia and gave the students a bit of a talk, encouraging them to pursue their studies in Deen. And at that time, obviously not being very well-versed in Arabic, still in the early stages of studies, Maulana would quote poetry and encourage us how to take up this part of Deen knowledge. And ever since then, my asatida, Ma Zaki Gauda and Ma Ismail Bamji, in my former years, would encourage me to keep in mind that I have a responsibility of going to study and encouraging me to study by Maapa. As many of the listeners know that in terms of the Shafi community, especially among the Indian community, we don't have many Shafi ulama. And there was a need to start bringing in more Shafi ulama so that the Shafi madhab could carry on in our respective communities. So my asatida would generally encourage me to be in touch with Maapa and gain as much benefit. And towards the end of my studies, with the help of Mufti Zakaria and Ma'azahir Ravi, Hafidahumullah, it was eventually, he chalked out the plan for me to go and study by Ma'apa so that I could come back and serve our Shafi community. Alhamdulillah, that opportunity was granted to me in the year 2016. I remember going to Strand, having been a person who never boarded in a madrasa. It was very challenging. Alhamdulillah, those who visited the madrasa in Strand know that it's the living conditions is a bit tough, but alhamdulillah, in trying to gain the knowledge of deen, certain sacrifices are necessary to be made as well. Alhamdulillah, I managed to meet Maulana on the first day when the madrasa opened, and at that time Maulana was still teaching before his health prevented him from teaching. And I sat down with Maulana. Maulana was very welcoming. We sat down, we spoke what the plan was for myself. I explained to them and we discussed what our seniors wanted from in terms of the plan for the Jamiat and the Darul Iftah of the Jamiat. And Maulana chalked out the plan for me as well. In the first year, I would generally get my basics in Shafi Fiqh right. And from the year 2017 is that when Maulana started training me in issuing fatawa. And at the same time, it was the same time we initiated the Shafi desk in the beginning of the year 2017. Where queries that came to our Darul Iftah would then be sent to me in Cape Town, and Maulana put support structures for me in Cape Town, where one of the asatida, Maulana Yaqub Abdullah, would assist me in terms of checking my fatawa. And that is how I spent the remaining of my studies there as well. Ma'an also gave me the opportunity of teaching, alhamdulillah, in his madrasa so that I could further develop my skills as well. But in terms of my interactions with Ma'ana and where Ma'ana I was able to benefit most from Ma'ana came in the last few 6 months which I was with Ma'ana in Strand towards the end of 2018, where understanding the fact that I needed to come back to Joburg and fulfill a very important duty and a very important service for the Shafi'i community, Ma'ana would give me extra time of his. So just like how Ma'ana Hudhaifa, who is my friend as well, and who I always tell him I envy you for having been able to be in Ma'ana's khidmat for the past 2 years, during those 6 months, I had a glimpse of what the fortune that he had, and that was Ma'ana would contact me now and then to take him to a few places, to meet a few people, take him to certain meetings. Alhamdulillah, Ma'ana gave me the opportunity of Sundays also, where Sunday mornings we would sit with one of Ma'ana's works which he was writing. We would edit it together. Ma'ana would give me a dars in it. And alhamdulillah, it was something which was very beneficial. And then came the time when eventually I had to come to Joburg in the beginning of 2019 and now formally sit at the iftar department and answer fatawa from there. And throughout my studies with Ma'ana always mentioned one important aspect in terms of unity. And he mentioned that we are people of the madhub and not the asub. And what that means is that we might be aligned to a madhab and other people aligned to different madahib. And it is important to be aligned to a madhab. But our affinity to one madhab should never be a means of discourse amongst ourselves. It should never be a means of creating fitna amongst of ourselves and disunity. And he always would mention the stories of history. And anyone who interacts with Ma'ana, he always brings the history aspect to any mas'ala and to any problem that you might face. And he always mentioned and highlighted how when we differed on these issues of madhab, how it put us back in moving forward. So alhamdulillah, I came then to the Jamiat. We started answering from there as well. But just to understand for the listeners as well is that our iftar department, when it comes to an issuing of a fatwa, it's not that just one mufti will answer it and it will go out. There are certain aspects which are necessary in terms of checking. So we have a two-step checking process where after the fatwa is answered, two other muftis from within the fatwa department now checks the answer to ensure that there's accuracy with regards to the masail that are going out to the public. Obviously, in my case, it was a bit different. You cannot expect a mufti in the Hanafi madhab to be able to check whether my mas'ala is correct or not. So Ma'ana Taha availed himself as much as possible in terms of checking my fatwa. And it did become a bit of a challenge for us because everyone knows how busy Ma'ana Taha was. Ma'ana Hudhaifa just mentioned in how many boards he was in terms of banking. He had the MJC, he had Madrasa to see to. He had the Da'wah services in the Eastern Cape also to see to. And Ma'ana was a very busy person. And for him to check on my fatwa was beginning to become difficult. And Ma'ana would ask me to then to send it to certain other ulama. And eventually Ma'ana then created a support structure for myself where he created a group where all these masail and all fatwa and all important aspects relating to our madhab and contemporary masail were to be discussed. So I don't know, many people might have seen, especially among the ulama groups, that Ma'ana was very averse to joining a specific group. And he felt that in his experience, joining groups with ulama never tended to yield much scholarly debate and scholarly works and others. So he preferred to stay away from groups. However, it was our great fortune, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such, and with Ma'ana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ma'ana this foresight to create a group where he placed very students who are senior in terms of who have graduated from the Darul Uloom and who he had great confidence in. Not only locally, but abroad as well. So locally we had the likes of Mana Yaqub Abdullah, who's a teacher at Strand, Mana Zakaria Harnikar, who's also a teacher at Strand. And internationally we had the likes of Mana Yaqub Abdul Rahman from the USA, Ma Sharaf Iqbal from Sri Lanka, Ma Umair Abdul Ghaffar, whose poem regarding Moana's demise has also been circulated. And alhamdulillah, so all of us are now, Moana put us on this one group. And Moana's scholarly input in every mas'ala which came up on the group was subhanAllah, it was something very great. It showed the level of Moana's intelligence, his foresight, and how he was able to synthesize between many fields. Moana could bring, and this is the amazing thing of Moana's knowledge, he could bring things like an aspect of quantum physics and he could relate it to something in Aqidah. He could use quantum physics to explain certain miracles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was the scholarly capacity of Moana.
You know, Mufti Razin, yesterday I was preparing for today's program, you know, so I was Googling Moana Taha and he speaks about Pythagoras and, you know, he brings in the madhab and my children are asking me, but what's this Pythagoras thing? So as you say, Maulana could take something very remote and bring it in and make it applicable to us in that particular stuff. And I think that is something that perhaps we all could learn the vast knowledge Maulana had, not only in the field of Islamic academics, but just general was truly amazing.
100%. In fact, we had this one, Maulana was teaching at one stage, the Kitab Izzatul Khafa of Sheikh Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. And unfortunately, I couldn't make it for that lesson, but in the recordings and the feedback that I got, when Moana spoke about the Jewish scriptures and how he was able, how he actually studied the Jewish scriptures from their own language, and how he was able to decipher the hidden language and those things which the Jews might have tried to cover up. And this was, subhanAllah, something which was great in terms of Moana's ability to look at things from a very broad perspective, not only from a one point of view. And this came out throughout Moana's fatawa on the group. And if Moana, if you don't mind, I would just like to...
Moana, I'm going to ask you to just be a bit quick. Mufti Zubair is on the line so that Moana can just finish up.
Okay. I just wanted to inform the listeners of the last fatwa that was discussed on our group, which subhanAllah attests to Moana's love for the Ahlul Bayt and the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so basically the question that was posed to me was with regards to the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving zakah when they aren't able to receive any other form of wealth. And Moana went into great detail that even though there might be certain Shafi'i ulama who are of the opinion that in times of need, it would be permissible for them to receive zakah, but Moana was very against this, and he actually mentioned that the fatwa is in Arabic, and alhamdulillah, Moana always encouraged us on this group that we must only speak in Arabic. But his final fatwa was with regards to giving the Ahlul Bayt from our own pure wealth. And he mentioned that it is the greatest disrespect and the greatest form of disgust on the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we are allowing our zakat now to go to the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given 97.5% of our wealth for ourselves. How is it that we as the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not able to give them from our pure wealth and we are now subjecting them to zakat? And in the end, Moana says that, Moana went into great detail quoting the ahadith when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about how we deal with his family, and that we should deal with them in the best of manner. And Moana mentioned there that he actually asked us in the group that memorize this fatwa of mine and spread it so that I can attain the shahada and the
intercession.
The intercession of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he goes on to direct the question to myself and tell me that whoever is asking from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for wealth, I will give them from my own pure wealth. Allah give me their details. And I will look after them. By that means, I will get the shafa of their grandfather on the day of Qiyamah.
Mufti Sahib, we say Jazakallahu khaira to you on that note. And Allah Ta'ala grant us all the shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Mufti Razin. Mufti Saab is a Shafi Mufti of the Jamiatul Ulama, and he studied under Maulana Taha Karan.